The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What happened to music that meant something?
The Who at the Kingdom or Kiss at the Coliseum. Where is the Misty Mountain Hop? Where is the smoke on the water? Where is the Iron Man of today?
Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll.
Welcome to Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media. I'm Jim DeRogatis, the pop music critic at the Chicago Sun-Times.
And I'm Greg Cotta. I write about rock and roll for the Chicago Tribune. This week on the world's only rock and roll talk show, Jim and I host our own inaugural celebration with the best songs in presidential rock.
Plus, we'll review the new album from Scottish indie rockers Franz Ferdinand.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and now it's time to welcome our newest affiliate.
Indeed it is, Greg. Whenever a new station adds Sound Opinions, we like to play a great piece of music, something we love from that town or city. We've been doing this a lot, like a couple of weeks in a row now, and a few more to come because we're on a roll. Sound Opinions is going nationwide in a big way in 09. This is our year, my friend. This city I know means a lot to you, Milwaukee.
Absolutely. My old stomping grounds, went to college there. Great music town, a lot of great bands in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. So to welcome 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, you know, look, we could have done the obvious, play the Violent Femmes, right? No. The best of any of the second wave psychedelic revival bands of the 80s. It was a group called Plastic Land. I don't care who you're talking about. These guys are arguably better than the Soft Boys, better than any of the L.A. Dream Syndicate type bands. Plastic Land, man, they were recapturing that spirit of the psychedelic era in Britain, circa Pink Floyd in 67. John Frankovic, Glenn Reese, running around downtown Milwaukee, playing at gay bars, because those are the only places that would have them. They would get beat up by the punks. They would get beat up by the bikers. They'd get beat up by construction workers, because they were wearing this outlandish paisley fashion. And I think the records they made in the 80s especially are just, you know, indelible, especially the second. Wonder, Wonderful, Wonderland. That's my description of Milwaukee. This is a song called Gloria Night by Plastic Land.
For me, rise and let it.
That is Gloria Knight by Plasticland on Sound Opinions. Welcome, 88.9 Radio Milwaukee.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
On Broadway.
They say there's always magic in the air.
On Broadway.
The neon lights are a little dimmer on Broadway today, Jim, because one of the landmark institutions on that street in New York City, in the middle of Manhattan, is closing down. The Virgin Megastore. It is the highest volume music store in the United States. It is about to close. And yet, the Virgin Megastore, incredibly successful. The trend in recent years has been that retail record stores have been closing down by
left
the thousands. Yes.
It was a sad day when the Tower chain went under, for example.
Indeed, and lots of mom-and-pop record stores. But Virgin was an institution for anybody who went to New York City. You plopped down in the middle there, and you just walked into this 180,000 square foot mecca, wall-to-wall CDs, magazines, and books related to music. It was really hard to walk out of there without spending a few bucks. In my case, several hundreds of dollars, I would say, have been spent at that store because they seem to have everything. It was a very successful store, $55 million in annual revenue, $6 million in operating profit, and yet that was not enough to keep it open. So in these dire times, for record stores, even one of the most successful record stores ever in the history of the music business can't stay open, and New York City's losing one of its landmarks.
Well, it just underscores why those of us who love music need to support every mom-and-pop shop that is left in the country. We're lucky to have a lot of them here in Chicago. New York still has some great ones.
Absolutely.
You know, let's appreciate them while they're still here.
Once upon a couple of weeks ago, I'm in a crush in a Dublin pub around New Year's. Glasses clinking, clicking, clashing, crashing in Gaelic revelry. Swinging doors, sweethearts falling in and out of the season's blessings. Family feuds subsumed or resumed. Malt joy and ginger despair all in the queue to be served on this, the quarter of a millennium mark since Arthur Guinness first put velvety blackness into a pint glass.
Greg, that resonant Irish voice waxing rhapsodic about drinking Guinness in Dublin is none other than Bono. That is actually him reading his column, his first column for the New York Times op-ed slot, which he was recently granted. Yes, Bono is going to be walking on our turf. He's going to be regularly writing for the New York Times because leading the biggest rock band in the world, U2, and trying to feed Africa and bring world peace to the universe isn't enough. He also has to have a column as well.
Yeah, indeed he does, Jim. And, you know, it's not the first time, obviously, that an entertainer of Bono's magnitude or a rock star has written for a daily newspaper. I mean, I can think back when Bob Weir was writing wrote a guest column in USA Today. Lou Reed has frequently been published by various newspapers and magazines. We see that people like David Byrne and Brian Eno are using their blogs and websites as forums to speak out on various issues.
Yeah.
But I think this is the first time, at least in my memory, that a rock musician has been given a regular spot, and certainly a regular spot in, you know, the leading daily newspaper perhaps
right.
in the world.
Such a high profile. And Bono's going to find it's not as easy as he thought. You know, the column, his first column ran on January 11th. On January 13th, the New York Times had to run a correction, which newspapers hate to do. You and I can testify to that, because he was going on and on about The Beauty of My Way by Frank Sinatra, and he referred to Don Costa doing the arrangement. No, 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 no. In fact, the New York Times informs us, and Bono should have known, it was Nelson Riddle. Shame on you, Bono. This stuff isn't as easy as you think.
He's a classic Irish storyteller. Never let the facts get in the way of a good story. The one thing that I like is hearing Bono tell the story. I don't think he's a very good writer. It takes him about a half a column to finally get to his point. And when he gets to his point, when he addresses the music of Frank Sinatra and talks about the different versions of My Way that have moved him, I think that's very interesting. I compare it to, say, the Blindfold Test in Downbeat Magazine, where you hear jazz musicians, prominent jazz musicians, talking about their peers and the music of their peers. I think if Bono sticks to music and talking about the music that moved him, I'd love to hear him talk about, say, the Undertones in Ireland as he was coming up, or, say, you know, how the first Patti Smith record had an influence on his his music. I would love to hear him talk about
this
stuff.
You're such an idealist.
I think where he gets where he'll get off the track is when he starts talking about stuff that, you know, he's really not an expert in.
Well, there's only one reason the New York Times gave him this column. It's because he's a celebrity.
Sure.
It's not
because
he's a good writer. It's not because he has deep ideas. You know, I just don't think he needs to be a columnist. And if you disagree, when you're out with the flu, he can come in here and do this with me, and I'll make mincemeat of him, all right? Greg, there's a nifty little hip-hop version of Hail to the Chief. What better way to start our segment honoring the inauguration of the 44th President of the United States of America, our former senator, our neighbor, Barack Obama? We thought we would take a look at the best songs throughout rock history that have been written about presidents.
Indeed, Jim. An amazing number of songs have been written about presidents. And the only way to start this is the way we usually start one of these face-offs, is with a coin flip.
Absolutely. You want to take the Lincoln or the Memorial? We'll do a penny.
Sounds good. I'll take the Memorial song.
All right. I've got Lincoln's head, and it is... It's President Lincoln. I get to start. Greg, I don't think there's any other way to start a discussion of great rock songs about presidents than with Neil Young. Neil Young has written tons of great songs about presidents. You want to talk about Rockin' in the Free World, mm-hmm. which is when he was mad at President Bush the First,
right.
talking about 1,000 points of light. You want to talk about Ohio, Tin Soldiers and Nixon's Coming, his response of rage and sadness about the killings at Kent State. He sang about Obama. You know, he was talking about, we're looking for a leader, and he didn't, you know, Obama says he's too young. Well, Obama got it, Neil. We could probably find more if we went through his vast canon. But to me, the song that Neil Young wrote that best epitomizes the way America deals with a president is the 1976 tune, Campaigner. This is at a point where Nixon was reviled, mm-hmm. okay? After Watergate and the disaster of Vietnam, which he didn't quite get us out of, and everything that Nixon had done, the hopes that he dashed, Neil Young sings this simple song that tells us even Richard Nixon has got soul.
Hmm.
I was thinking about this in particular. You know, you have that new Frost Nixon movie. We're trying to cope with this character who is, you know, one of the most difficult presidents in American history. You know, why did people ever get behind him? Why did they like him? And how did they feel let down after everything that he did? And, you know, where was the human behind this guy at the end of the day?
Right.
Neil Young nailed it in 76 with Campaigner. Even Richard Nixon has got soul, he says, on Sound Opinions.
Hospitals have made him cry.
That's the great Neil Young singing about Richard Nixon and every politician, really, in a song called Campaigner on Sound Opinions. Mr. Cott, you got a presidential rock tune for me?
Well, great choice, Jim. A rare expression of empathy from a credible artist when talking about a major politician. But it's also interesting to look at the flip side of that. A lot of songs about presidents for centuries, literally, were incredibly positive. It was very difficult to do the opposite for a long time, to critique the president. And that is essentially what the best protest songs and the best protest singing is all about, speaking truth to power. And I think one of the first songs that I came across that did this was a song that was recorded in the 50s by the blues musician J.B. Lenore, a Mississippi-born, Chicago-based artist who made a lot of great music in the 50s and 60s, one of the most respected blues songwriters of all time. Not as well-known as people like Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon, but he was a contemporary of theirs, and he wrote a lot of music for both of them. One of Lenore's best songs was Eisenhower Blues, written at the height of the Dwight Eisenhower administration. I mean, Eisenhower was a war hero, a guy who could do no wrong for a long time and for a lot of people. But Lenore, in his song, addressed the whole idea, well, you know, there's an underclass in this country, and they're not doing so well, Mr. President. What about us? Lenore claims that when the record was initially put out, the White House sent a mysterious man to visit his record company and said, you guys might want to reconsider the title of your song. And in fact, the record company, Parrot, caved and re-recorded it as Taxpaying Blues, taking Eisenhower's name out of it. You know, that may be just a complete fabulous construction by Lenore, but it's a great story. In any case, the record as originally released was titled Eisenhower Blues. It was later covered by Elvis Costello in the 80s on one of his albums, and it's a classic song, a classic protest song that names names, including the most important figurehead in the United States government at the time. Here's Eisenhower Blues from J.B. Lenore on Sound Opinions.
True, I got them Eisenhower. Thinking about me and you, what on earth are we gonna do? My money's gone, my fun is gone.
J.B. Lenore with Eisenhower Blues on Sound Opinions. Coming up next on the show from Chicago Public Radio and America Public Media, we're going to continue playing our favorite songs about presidents. And later on, Jim and I are going to review the new Franz Ferdinand record.
Taking all my money to pay the tax, I'm only giving you people the natural fact. I'm only telling you people my belief, because I am ahead of rent. My baby needs some clothes, she needs some shoes. People's out, don't know what I'm gonna do. I got them out and how to do. Thinking about me.
Ronald awoke and washed his
Back to Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My partner is Greg Kot. And that is a little bit of a song called Ronald Reagan, Such a Marvelous Dream, from an interesting package, Greg, that came out late last year, last September. It was called Of Great and Mortal Men, 43 Songs for 43 U.S. Presidencies. It was a project by three musicians primarily, Christian Kiefer, Matthew Gerken, and Jefferson Pitcher, but they brought in all sorts of well-known friends of theirs from the indie rock world. That's Caliphone playing on that song we just heard. The folks from Low also make some appearances, Bill Callahan of Smog. Interesting project, but we're going a little deeper. We're talking about our best presidential songs ever, and I'm going to go now with a tough one, a hardcore one, another song about Ronald Reagan. It came out in 1986 from one of the Ramones' lesser albums, Animal Boy. Not that great a record, but this was a real burst of brilliance. One of the best songs that the Ramones gave us in the last third of their career was called My Brain is Hanging Upside Down, in parentheses, Bonzo Goes to Bitburg. It's important to note that the leader of the Ramones, Jeff Hyman, otherwise known as Joey Ramone, the singer, was Jewish. And when President Reagan went to visit the Nazi war cemetery in Bitburg, where members of the SS, people who had worked at concentration camps, were buried, and he honored that site with presenting a wreath there, Jeff Hyman, Joey Ramone, was furious. He couldn't believe that the President of the United States was doing this, and the Ramones quickly recorded and released as a single this response. You know, for kids who don't remember, Reagan had been an actor before he was a president. One of his big hit movies was Bedtime for Bonzo, where he co-starred with a chimp. So Bonzo Goes to Bitburg is the Ramones responding to this sad moment in presidential politics. Here it is on Sound Opinions.
Bonzo Goes to Bitburg from the Ramones on Sound Opinions. Great choice, Jim. I think one of the great moments in the Ramones' history, and that's really saying something. They had a lot of great songs, but that was one of their best. Got to go out of country for my next pick, Jim. Not just strictly limited to American artists writing about American presidents, but what about the worldview from outside the United States about the role that presidents play, for example, in foreign policy? American presidents affecting what goes around the world perhaps more than any single individual in the world. And XTC wrote some great songs about the political spectrum. Andy Partridge, the great songwriter for this UK band for the last 30 years. In 1989, they released an album called Oranges and Lemons. And they had a great song on it that addressed what Partridge saw as the disconnect between the idea that here we have this alleged democracy, but in fact, once the president is elected, he's really the guy calling the shots. The democracy can't speak for him anymore. It's not about the American people dictating what's going on around the world. It's this one guy. Mm. And a lot of times, the choice that is often made is going to war, throwing our weight around in the world. And Andy Partridge just got a little tired of it when he wrote this song. It's called Here Comes President Kill Again. And what I like about this song is not so much the lyrics. I mean, they're about as direct as you can get. I mean, it's tantamount to that Neil Young song a few years ago where he said, let's impeach the president.
Let's impeach the president
right
for
out.
Lying. Yeah.
Exactly. Here he's basically saying, here's what I think about American presidents and their foreign policy. But the arrangement on this song is fascinating. And in the midsection of this song, he basically says, I tried to compress the entire White Album into about 30 seconds. That's the Beatles' White Album, of course, from 1968. He's got Mark Isham on trumpet, as well as his fellow XTC band members. Here it is. Here comes President Kill Again on Sound Opinions.
XTC's Here Comes President Kill Again on Sound Opinions. We're doing presidential rock. Nice choice, Mr. Cott. I'll stay in the imperialist mode while we're here. This actually was a suggestion from a Sound Opinions listener who heard that we were going to do this show, Scott Silva in Nashua, New Hampshire. He wrote and said, you cannot ignore They Might Be Giants. Now, in most cases, I will be happy to ignore They Might Be Giants. I cede them to our colleagues at This American Life, okay? But this actually is a song I love. As you know, I'm a big student of military history, in particular United States and the British Empire. And this is a song about one of the American presidents who was really, you know, manifest destiny, James K. Polk. He's the guy who just, yeah, he saw all that land south of Texas, and actually Texas itself and just decided, that, you know, that's the United States. They're calling it Mexico. Mexico's been there a couple of hundred years. The Indians have lived there. The Spanish were there. But I want it. And he went and he took it. This is actually a very funny song. Came out in 96 on They Might Be Giants' Factory Showroom record. You know, middle of the alternative era. They were signed to Elektra at the time. One of their better records. First they ever made that actually had a band. So it's not just that annoying accordion driving this song. They call Polk, who is one of not one of our better known presidents.
Yes.
You know, the Mexican-American War, what else do you know James K. Polk for? Well, they tell you, they give us a history lesson. He was running against Martin Van Buren. He was running against James Buchanan. His rep was as the Napoleon of the stump. He was America's answer to Napoleon in more ways than one, including just declaring war wherever he felt like it. Here it is, James K. Polk by They Might Be Giants on Sound Opinions.
In 1844, the Democrats were split. The three nominees for the presidential candidate were Martin Van Buren, a former president and an abolitionist, James Buchanan, a moderate, Louis Cass, a general and expansionist. Soon agreed, he's just the man we need to bring about victory, fulfill our manifest destiny, and annex the land the Mexicans command. And when the vote was cast, the winner was Mr. James K. Polk, Napoleon of the Stump.
James K. Polk by They Might Be Giants. What do you got, Greg?
Yeah, Manifest Destiny is pretty cool if you're like if you're a big fan of James K. Polk, right?
Yeah.
And I love that song, too. Here's another song from a different perspective, looking outside in. And it may not necessarily even be referring to American presidents, but I think it certainly appeals to this idea of the commander-in-chief and why would you want this job? Wyclef Jean put out a pretty great record a few years ago that got completely overlooked. Welcome to Haiti, Creole 101. Wyclef, who obviously is a key songwriter in the Fugees as well as a solo artist, has a background in Haiti. In fact, he was born there. And he made an entire album basically addressing the situation, social, political, economic, in the country of Haiti in 2004. But one of the few English language songs on the record was this one. And he talks about what it is to be the chief executive in any country and why would you want this job. He sings, if I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, and buried on Sunday. There's an incredible amount of pressure on the job in Haiti. There was chaos. I mean, the leadership in that country was in a constant state of turmoil for decades. And I think this applies as well to what's going on in the United States now as well. You look at these chief executives, and it's a difficult job. Mm-hmm. These men age incredibly in the office. You look at pictures of George Bush in the year 2000 and the year 2008, and that man has aged more than 8 years in the last 8 years. Clinton, the same thing. Jimmy Carter. Reagan, I think, was the only guy who looked basically the same.
Yeah, I don't think he actually went to work much.
But Wyclef, I think, addresses that issue with a lot of passion and a lot of poignance on this particular song, President, by Wyclef Jean on Sound Opinions.
Yeah, election time's coming. Who you gonna vote for? Yeah. If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday, they go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, if I was president, was president, yeah. Instead of spending billions on the war, I can use that money so I can feed the poor. 'Cause I know some so poor. When it rains, that's when they shower, scream and fight the power. That's when the vulture devours. If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday, they go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, if I was president, yeah. I know some soldiers that sleep but they can't dream, wake up with screams, sounds of M16. So take this medal of honor for your bravery. I wish you the best, kid, you and your family. If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday, they go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, if I was president.
That's President by Wyclef Jean on Sound Opinions. To elect your favorite presidential rock song or make a rock State of the Union address, call 888-859-1800 or email us at interact@soundopinions.org. We'll wrap up our inaugural celebration after a short break on Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media, and then Greg and I will review the new album Tonight by Franz Ferdinand.
If I was president, all blacks, I had reparation, no segregation, feed the nation so there's no famine. Muslims, Jews, Christians, with our whole hands, every week on the beach, party by the sand, word up, take trips on Air Force One, only to bring the homeless with no sneaks, the Air Force One, better schools in the hood, better teachers for the classes, making money, paying no tax, find the best scientists, tell them come up with an answer, I want the cure for AIDS and cancer, but I gotta watch my back, snipers on the hill with the steel, waiting to JFK.
I was president, I get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday, they go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, I feel the rain coming, let me play my guitar for them right now.
Let's go.
I'm the river that flows through the hood, through the woods, through the burbs, through the mud, through the bricks, over the curb to the forest preserve. Got with 4 acres in the forest and words planting grown for the young seeds to know them. Trees is blowing, we see change in the wind. It's a new day and I gotta take it in. See a black man run, we need him to win. Young eyes search for a better tomorrow. Let belief lead the way and the angels follow. Open doors for the hopeful to go through, 'cause I was chosen to and I'm supposed to.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media. Greg Kot and I are doing the best songs in rock history about presidents of the United States of America in honor of the inauguration of Barack Obama, who Common was singing about in that song, Changes. Greg, presidents can touch us in a very special way. It has become a cliche for anyone who was alive at the time. Where were you when John F. Kennedy died? Lou Reed wrote about it in one of his most moving songs from The Blue Mask in 1982. He was recalling being a young student at college at Syracuse University, walking into a bar and hearing this news that just stopped his heart dead. This is The Day John Kennedy Died by Lou Reed on Sound Opinions.
I dreamed I was the president of these United States. I dreamed I replaced ignorance, stupidity, and hate. I dreamed a perfect union and a perfect law undenied. Most of all, I dreamed I forgot the day John Kennedy died. could do the job that others hadn't done. I dreamed that I was uncorrupt and fair to everyone. I dreamed I wasn't gross or base, a criminal on the take. Most of all, I dreamed I forgot the day John Kennedy died. Remember where I was that day? I was upstate in a bar. The team from the university was playing football on TV. Then the screen went dead and the announcer said, "There's been a tragedy. Unconfirmed reports the president's been shot and he may be dead or dying." Talking stopped, someone shouted what? I ran out to the street. People were gathered everywhere saying, "Did you hear what they said on TV?" And then a guy in a Porsche with his radio hit his horn and told us the news. He says the president's dead. He was shot twice in the head in Dallas, and they don't know by whom.
Lou Reed, "The Day John Kennedy Died," his vocal made all the more powerful by Fernando Saunders' bass, Robert Quine's guitar. My God, I think it's Reed's best solo album, right, Greg?
Yeah, it's a great record, and that's a great song. Jim, I'm going to end with a song that presaged what we are going to be seeing in the following week. A African-American in the White House. Something that couldn't have been imagined, I would argue, when this song was written. Back as recently as 1993, it was written by George Clinton, when another Clinton
was in
the White House. And George, of course, the founder of Parliament Funkadelic, he says, "Yo, listen to the real Clinton." Who, Bill Clinton? Hell no, I'm talking about George Clinton, okay? But in this song, he's talking about one day, maybe that White House is going to house a person of color. I don't know when it's going to be, but I hope that day is coming soon because we need a change. And lo and behold, George Clinton has lived long enough to see the day when a black man does hold the highest office in the United States.
Unfortunately, Greg, he's not performing at the inauguration.
Yeah.
You know, you and I both wrote about the artist that Barack Obama should have had perform at the inauguration. We both said Mavis Staples, the voice of the civil rights movement. You know, he reads both of us. Did I tell you the story about when I met him? I was at a restaurant in Greektown. He was running for Senate at the time and having a fundraiser in the back room. We both wound up in the men's room at adjoining urinals at the same time. And he looks over and says, "I read you all the time and I enjoy your radio show." Meaning this, Sound Opinions. I didn't get to shake his hand, you know, because we were otherwise
probably
occupied.
But
he didn't listen to us. We told him, book Mavis Staples, book George Clinton.
Exactly. And here's George Clinton speaking to power in the best way he knows how. "Paint the White House Black" from George Clinton in 1993 on Sound Opinions.
"Hey, what's up? What's poppin'? This is Dr. Dre calling from Chronic Control. Could I speak to the president? Telling me he was smoking last night at the club, you know what I'm saying? What? He don't inhale. Well, I know I got the wrong mother. Did somebody beat me from there?
Colors don't clash, people do. Call on me happy next to you. Oh, just like it should. That old man would. That's what they'd have us to be. From all that smoke, from behind the smoke screen of a
out of line.
Yo, but check this out. If you talk to George Clinton, tell him I'll catch him at the next plateau with the bomb. You know what I'm saying? Not the pretendo, but the endo. And I'll be dropping some straight chronic at his front door.
Paint the White House Black from George Clinton on Sound Opinions, and that concludes our list of some of the best presidential songs ever written.
Well, I'm sitting here, sentimental footsteps, and a voice say hi, so. So what you got this time? Come on, let's get high. Come on, look, so what you got next, though? Walking 25 miles, oh. Well, I'm bored, I'm bored. Come on, let's get high.
That is a song called Ulysses, the first track, first single from the new album by Franz Ferdinand. Tonight, Franz Ferdinand on Sound Opinions. Greg, you and I were both huge fans of Franz Ferdinand when they debuted in 2004, this wonderful Scottish quartet that really seemed positioned to be the number one new wave of new wave dance band. We had a whole movement of groups that were revisiting that kind of new wave mixture of disco and punk rock. I'm thinking of bands like Interpol and Hot Hot Heat. And Franz Ferdinand came at it with more style and class. These were young Scots with a sense of humor, a lot of sexiness, sarcasm, style. You know, in particular, I think Alex Kapranos, the singer, the leader of the band, he was a new generation's Brian Ferry. Then something happened in 2005 when they put out their second album, You Could Have It So Much Better. They toured behind it, played much bigger venues, venues that were too big for them. The record sounded too much like the first album, but with fewer hooks and less energy. And we haven't really heard from them since. 2005 is a long time ago. You know, the only consciousness denting on my part that Franz Ferdinand did is when Kapranos put out a very funny book, Soundbites, Eating on Tour with Franz Ferdinand, which was about America as seen through all of its greasy spoons, places he'd never been as a Scotsman. The first time he came to the United States, thought it was a good place to eat. Now, all of a sudden, okay, at long last, album number 3, Tonight, Franz Ferdinand. Let's play a track from it and then get into our opinions, rate it on the Sound Opinion scale, buy it, burn it, trash it. This is a song called What She Came For by Franz Ferdinand on Sound Opinions.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you. Where'd you get your name from? Where'd you get your name from? I got a question for you. Where do you see yourself in 5 minutes? With a laugh like that, or a look like that, you make us all feel ghost like it's a smutty joke. But with a laugh like that, or a move like that, you make us all just go. Question for you, how do you feel the pressure? Why are you wearing what you're wearing? Where will your life be gone in 5 minutes? So say something stupid, you know that you love to. Whoa, whoa. We'll be right back.
That's What She Came For from Franz Ferdinand's third album, Tonight. It's all about that bass, isn't it? I mean, that's an amazing sound on that song. Bob Hardy, the bassist in Franz Ferdinand. And let's give the drummer some, too, Paul Thompson. I think the rhythm section is what makes this album. And what has happened with Franz Ferdinand on their third record and why it took so much time to make, as I think they reconfigured their sound a bit. They sort of stood at the intersection of dance, music, and rock with those first two albums. Now I think they've foregrounded the dance element much more prominently. They're taking more chances here, too. There's a little bit of Afro pop on a song called Send Him Away. They do this acid house thing on this 7-minute track called Lucid Dreams, which is like nothing they've recorded before. I mean, they're going way out on a limb with that particular song because they're departing from formula in a big way. And they close out the record with a couple of ballads, including a stripped-down acoustic number called Catherine Kiss Me. So they're taking more chances sonically here. But the core of this album are those disco rave-ups, homages to the late 70s disco sound of Giorgio Moroder, a lot of New York house and Chicago house music elements in this music from the early 80s, and those are the reference points. You mentioned Brian Ferry, and I keep waiting for Kapranos to step up to that level. He's a very stylish singer. He's a sexy guy. There's a lot of suave and stylish mannerisms in the vocals, but he never really gets to that level where Ferry, even though he was this stylish guy, there was also a level of poignance and a sort of a tear your heart out romanticism about Ferry that Kapranos never gets to.
Yeah,
so
but
it's all kind of surface-level thrills for me.
But that's Kapranos' point. I don't think it's about superficiality. Look, no mere mortal like you or me are ever going to be Brian Ferry, right? He's the coolest human being in the world. Kapranos is trying to come on that way. In that song, Twilight Omens, you know, he sings, I typed your number into my calculator, and when it spelled a dirty word when I turned it upside down. It's like, yeah, that's not a pickup line that's going to work. And sure enough, later in the song, he wakes up, I had written your name on the back of my hand, but I found out that it was written backwards on my face.
Yeah.
You know, look, you went home alone, but while the club was still open, you were dominating the dance floor thanks to that patented Greg Kot phrase here, booty shaking bass. I think this bass is taking New Order Peter Hook bass lines and imagining them as if they were played by Bootsy Collins of Funkadelic. It's great. And I think Kapranos, every man, you know, wants to be suave, wants to go home with that girl, doesn't get there, but at least he has some moves on the dance floor. I think that's a winning routine. I think Franz Ferdinand is back in form on the Buy It, Burn It, Trash It scale. I got to say, it's a buy it record.
Jim, there's no doubt about it. Stylish record. Franz Ferdinand's Tonight definitely will get people onto the dance floor. But I'm looking for more emotion, more an emotional depth from this band than I'm getting right now, and it's a burn it for me.
Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, very exciting. We got a visit from one of the great bands working in America today. The Hold Steady are going to be in our studio for a live performance and an interview.
As always, Sound Opinions this week was produced by our ace production team of Todd Bachman, Jason Saldana, and Robin Lynn. And our fearless leader, our executive producer, Tori Southside Malatia, the second most favorite person in our lives from the South Side of Chicago. On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic, so give us a call on our hotline, 1-888-859-1800.
New messages.
Hey guys, this is William from San Jose, California. I've been listening to the podcast since early 2008, so I wasn't around for the original airing of the Radiohead show that you did in 2006. Radiohead, to me, has never been all that interesting until listening to your podcast. I was just amazed at the depth and feeling that they impart to their music, and now, for better or worse, I am a Radiohead fan because of you. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, this is Adam from Minneapolis, owner at Sugar Records. I just thought I'd call in before the show on your Animal Collective record. Everybody in our store loved it. I just want to let you guys know that, like, you know, I always hear you guys talking about how sales are down, and we just really don't understand, you know, everybody that works here. It's like, for instance, the Animal Collective record, it came out last week. We got 1/10 of what we ordered, and the same thing happened, you know, with their last one, Strawberry Jam. So I think the real problem is who's running these record companies that are producing the vinyl, because kids are definitely wanting to spend money on music other than downloads. They're just not able to buy what they actually want, which is, you know, like vinyl, something special, more than just a CD, colored vinyl, something that comes with a poster, or, you know, the Animal Collective is one of the best packaging vinyls I've ever seen. I just thought I'd let you know, like, some more insights through a record store point of view. All right, bye.
Sweet summer night, and I'm stripped to my sheets. 4 minutes leak in my AC squeaks. And a voice from the clock says you're not gonna get tired. My bed is a pool and the walls on fire.
Hi, Jim and Craig. I'm Chris from Hamburg, and I just downloaded your new latest podcast. And you mentioned on it that the iTunes Music Store doesn't have DRM, Digital Rights Management, on it anymore, and that people can now easily share the MP3s. Well, actually, you're kind of missing something. Your email address will be hidden in the source code for the MP3. So if you do share it, if you put it online, the record industry will have a pretty easy time finding out who you are. I hope this helps, and have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Mike from Oakland, California, longtime San Francisco native before Oakland. And I want to thank you so much. You pulled me right in, and I was, my heart sank as you started talking about what was going to be the Summer of Love, I was sure. And then suddenly you were playing the Dead Kennedys, and I wanted to stand up and cheer, but I was in my car.
California, over all us, California.
Well done. That was fantastic. And if, in case you opened up any ears who haven't really looked at the Dead Kennedys or listened to the Dead Kennedys, recently Bleed For Me came up on my iPod, and I heard it with some new ears. Man, that is music unlike anyone else's. That's not just punk rock. That's some quality, complicated, fascinating music. Bleed For Me by the Dead Kennedys, in case anyone needs a recommendation. Thanks so much.
No more messages.
To give us your opinion on sound opinions, call our hotline, 1-888-859-1800. We'll be back next week with sound opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media. Hey!